Right. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. If you'd like to open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 20 to 23. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. I'm sure you've heard these many times before. And it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body." Being attentive to God's word. You know, we live in a culture today where, you know, we have media coming at us 24/7. We can put on the TV. You know, it's not like the good old days when I was a kid. If you put the TV on before 7 o'clock in the morning, you were greeted with nothing, pretty much. And then we only had three channels, then came four channels, then came five, and now there's like hundreds of them. And now we have radio that runs 24/7. We have Facebook with 24/7 news and all sorts of stuff out there. But we never used to have that. And so we're engulfed in constant news, constant information. And sometimes we can be a little bit too attentive to the things of the world and too attentive to the things that are going on around us in the world, amen? So, you know, that we look at the news and we see all the doom and we see all the gloom, and it can be like, oh my gosh, this is quite frightening, some of the stuff that's going on. But I think we've got to pay attention to this scripture. Give attention to God's words. Incline your ear to his sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. It's life. God's word is life to us. It gives you life. It literally gives you life. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "All that call upon my name shall be saved," in Acts chapter 4, okay? You will literally be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord. You've watched those 999 type emergency programs, and I've seen people where they've been upside down in the car and the car's filling up with water and they're trying to get the sun out, but it can't because the seatbelt's jammed. And he said, you know, in that moment, I just said, "Oh God, help me." And then suddenly the seatbelt came undone. You will be literally saved when you call upon the name of the Lord, as well as spiritually saved, which is still literally being saved. And as you know, so God's word is life. It is life. Amen. But the news, okay, as much as it's informative, brings us information, but that information, if you dwell on it in a wrong way, can bring death to us as well. It brings fear and negativity and doubt and sadness and depression. These are not things that Christians need to have. And I'm reminded of the story of Peter in the storm. So I'm just going to turn to that now. So this is from Matthew 14. And I'm just going to read it to you. So it says, "The boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified." All right? If you saw someone walking towards you in the middle of the night of a storm on the sea, you'd be terrified. Has anyone seen the last episode of The Chosen, season 3, where it actually shows that scene? And there's this bit where it's flashing with lightning and stuff, and then just suddenly there's this flash of lightning, there's appearance of a man coming towards the boat, and it just disappears again. That would freak anybody out, right? So these guys were terrified. They were terrified, said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Jesus always won for understatement. And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and came towards Jesus. Why is this relevant? Because be attentive to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, call me out and I'll walk on the water." And so he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Doesn't matter what you say about Peter. You know, the apostle John was like, "Hey, but I'm the one Jesus loved." And Peter's like, "Yeah, but I'm the one who walked on the water." Right? So Peter actually walked on water. No one's done that before, right? So this is, apart from Jesus, that's a whole new deal. But what happened? is that he heard the word of God, he acted on the word of God, he had Jesus in his focus, and he could suddenly do the miraculous. He could suddenly do that which cannot be done, that which should not be done. That is that blows the carnal mind. The carnal mind says, no, 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 this doesn't happen, this shouldn't happen, this can't happen. But the spiritual man says, this can happen, this will happen, it does happen, because Jesus said, come out and walk on water. But what happened to him? He could see Jesus, but in his peripheral vision, he could see all the other nonsense that was going on. And it was only a matter of seconds when he was walking on water, and I don't know what that would have felt like, where suddenly he became more cognizant of what was going on around him than actually having his eye fixed on Jesus. And suddenly, doubt came in. Fear came in. His carnal mind was going, you can't walk on water, you idiot. You're a fisherman. You know that if you're in this storm, you're likely going to die. You can see that storm, there's no logical reason for what you're doing. You are mad. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be dying. And what happened to him? He went from faith to fear, and he started to drown. And if it wasn't for Jesus that pulled him out and rebuked him, he probably would have drowned. And so it's about coming back to the Proverbs. Incline your attention to my word. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Stop looking to what's going on in the world. I remember with my heart issues, before God delivered me of my fear of it all, I'll be constantly on my phone like, I'm getting this feeling, I'm getting that feeling. And what did doctors say about this? What did doctors say about that? And do you know what it filled me with? No hope, nothing, just more doom and gloom. And if I did get a glimmer of hope, you know, with every good doctor, they'll give you a glimmer. Okay, that's all I had, just had a glimmer of hope, and then it would all be gone again in the morning and stuff. But if I set my eyes on God's word, that's where I have hope. And hope, you need hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. How can you have evidence of things not yet seen? But Jesus says, come and walk on the water. Peter's never walked on water before in his life. There's no evidence that that can be done. But he did do it. However, when his carnal mind started taking in everything else, well, come on, Chris, let's have a little bit of wisdom here now. You shouldn't be preaching this stuff. You shouldn't be teaching this stuff. Nobody can walk on water. That was just one of those one random things. And you know what happened to Peter? He nearly drowned. Okay, that's the wisdom of Christianity today. It's like, just look at the world. Just try to reason. Use your intellect in all these things. Don't be spiritually minded. We know so-and-so, and she was spiritually minded, and they're dead now. You know, we can't walk around like that. It says in, Romans 8, verses 6 to 7, it talks about how that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded doesn't mean walking around thinking things that you shouldn't think about all day. Carnally minded is also when you start using, and there's nothing wrong, God gave us a brain, God gave you an intellect, God gave you knowledge, God gave you wisdom, but there's some times where wisdom and intellect comes to an end. And it's like, I have to do things now that defy intellect, that defy the wisdom, that defy common sense and knowledge. I'm going to do the supernatural. If you want to do the supernatural, you have to literally switch the brain off and switch something on inside of you. It says, that's impossible, but I'm going to do that which is impossible. And we can see this in our Bibles. I think you'll find it in Mark chapter 11. I think this stand's going to go in a minute. So in Mark chapter 11, we all know this passage very well. And this is 23 to 25. Thanks, mate. Now, I've got many study Bibles at home, and I got some Reformed study Bibles and all very intellectual study Bibles. And do you know what they say about this particular passage of Scripture? Every one of my commentaries, do you know what they say about this particular passage? Nothing. Because they don't want to talk about it, because they know this is nonsensical and unreasonable. But this is what Jesus said. And so, oh, we're not going to go there. It says, as they were passing by in the morning, from verse 20, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek actually says, have the faith of God. Okay? That's literally what it says. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Now that makes no sense. That is ridiculous. That is stupid according to the wisdom of man, right? That's why no commentary, unless it's some kind of charismatic commentary, will talk about that verse. They will ignore it because it defies logic. It defies reason. It defines carnality and the way that we think and the way that we understand the world around us. This is supernatural stuff. Jesus saying, I'm not making this stuff up. If you want that mountain to move, you must speak to it. But first, you must believe in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass. And if it will be granted to you. This is crazy. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them and they will be granted to you. Ah, yes, but Chris, here comes the carnal mind. I know sister so-and-so, and I know a brother so-and-so, and they believe this, and, well, nothing happened for them. Yeah, but those that tend to believe this stuff see a lot more signs and wonders and miracles than those that would rather not go there. In fact, I know personally, I know absolutely, as 100% as I'm standing here, people that do not believe in miracles, generally, 99.9% of the time, will not see one. Because you will get what you reap with what you sow. Yeah? If you don't believe in it, you ain't going to get it. If you're going to reach out to God to believe for the supernatural, you will see the supernatural. Yes. I'd rather be in a church that believes for the impossible and sees it sometimes than be in a church that doesn't believe for anything and see nothing all of the time. Amen. Hallelujah. We cannot afford to be carnally minded. Romans 8, 6 to 7 says very clearly, like walking in the spirit is life and peace. It's life. But if we walk by the carnal mind, it is death. Okay. Now, if we're going to walk through the storms of life, especially as we approach the end of days, we cannot and must not be troubled by the things that we see that are going on around us. Amen. So as Peter was troubled by the things that he saw, suddenly he could not do the miraculous. It says in the Gospels, Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? Now you might think, Jesus, that's a little bit harsh, isn't it? You know, it's the end of days, the Antichrist is ruling and reigning at that particular period of time, it's the greatest persecution on the earth known to all of mankind, and you're saying, will I find faith on the earth, and applying it in a negative way. Give us a break, Jesus. It's a bit of a harsh time. But that's what he's saying. No, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find my church? Will I find the saints full of faith? Or will I find them full of fear? Will I find my people believing for the incredulous and the outlandish? Or will I see my people in a place of fear? Amen? Hallelujah. I've seen some wonderful things and read some wonderful things. I'm reminded of this particular story called His Banqueting Table. Now, in this particular book, these were people, and they bought this house. They felt that God said, you need to live down this place. And it was in the middle of nowhere, absolute nowhere. And you could not get to it. I mean, it was middle of nowhere. And God just said to them very clearly, just sit here and people will come to you. And signs and wonders will follow. And it's like, all right, okay. So what they would do is they would just have some dinner, as you do. And then suddenly people would start turning up, and pulling up in their driveway, saying, hello, we're lost, we're completely... How did we get here? And they'd say, oh, come on in, you know, have some dinner. So they'd have some dinner and tell them about Jesus, they'd get saved. And this kept happening over and over and over again. And then weird things started happening. So, like, eventually loads of people just started turning up. And they'd have so many people to feed at one time that it was not possible. But they'd have one lasagna, right? One lasagna, about that big. And they just kept cutting slices off, cutting slices off, cutting slices off, and it fed 30, 40, 50 people. They'd take tins of food out of the pantry, and when they'd go back to the pantry again, the tins were back in the pantry again. That's like, was that, what, with the same barcode, a different barcode? How does that work? I don't know, you know. Where's that food even coming from? It's a miracle. And then loads and loads of other things began to happen, just signs and wonders. And just preceding all of that, they had a nine-month-old baby that was eating food. And this is how it all started, really. Giving it some food. And this would have freaked me out. And then the child just turned around to the parents and said, it will be as in the days of Acts. What did you just say? Okay, and suddenly it went back to like spitting food and stuff everywhere. If I'd see my kid do that, I'd be like sleeping with one eye open every night. It's like, well, what have we given birth to? But when we start doing things that defy the carnal minds, that's when we will see good and wonderful things. But bringing it back to the Proverbs scripture, keeping our eyes focused on the Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that's going to sustain you in the days that are coming ahead. When Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he was being tried and tested by Satan. But what did he keep saying? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. You know, when the news is screaming at you, hey guys, economic collapse. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all my stocks and shares? What about my mortgage? What about my pension? No, you go, it is written, it is written, it is written. It says in the Psalms that in a time of famine, I shall prosper. In a time of famine, I shall prosper. In a time of famine, I shall prosper. And I'm going to keep saying that till a thing goes away. You've got your warfare of most things that are going on in your life are going on in here. 90% of the stuff that goes in your life is fear, and it will never happen. So you've got to get a grip. You've got to take control of your thoughts and just keep saying, no, it is written. No, it is written. No, it is written. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because if you do, you will come through. My wife believed God for healing. She had a bone disease, and she was in agony for about 20 years, and I've told the story many times, but she just kept believing God. Every step she took was agony for her, but she just kept quoting scripture. I walk by faith. I walk by faith. I know God is going to heal me. And along that journey, God sometimes said to her, right, I want you to do this, and she would do that. And then she would be, you know, that would make life a bit easier for her. But she just kept on trusting God would heal her. And then one day she went forward to get communion, and as she touched the chalice, she felt this liquid energy just run right through her body, and she got instantly healed. Amen? That took her 20 years. So what? Better to take 20 years and get healed than like 40 years and believe nothing and get nothing. Amen? So, you know, if you just trust in God's word and just stand on his word and say, no, it is written. No, no, it is written. Because God's word and God's truth is greater than the truth that this world will give you. Everything this world gives you is half truth, half lies. You know, everything. People are even when people tell you the truth, they're motivated by their own inner desires and weaknesses, etc. Everything that comes from God is pure and truth. In God, he is pure light, and there's no varying of shadows. He's not a man that he should lie. He is the rock that does not change. He is immutable. He cannot and will not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I believe from, like, as you know, for those that know me, I have like many dreams and visions that I believe from God, and many of those things come to pass. And one of those dreams that's yet to come to pass is what I saw was the golden age of the church. And even though I think we're coming into a really difficult time from this year in Great Britain and probably to the world, I believe that this can be the worst of times, but also the best of times. This is what God's always been saying to me. It will be the worst of times, but it will be the best of times. That for God's people, even though we're going through real difficult times as a nation, it can be the best of times for us if we don't look to what's going on to the left and to the right, but we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And God has shown me some beautiful things that are coming, some really, really wonderful things for this nation. But it will come through a church, and it won't come through a church that's doubting and in fear and in unbelief. It will come through a church that will humble herself and pray and turn from her wicked ways and just call out to the living God. And when God says something, she will stand on it and believe it. Amen? You know, I mean, ultimately, that's what martyrdom is about, isn't it? It's like saying, I'm going to lay down my life for the truth of God's word. Even though you may have never seen Jesus. Even though you may have never seen this or seen that. Or did the crucifixion really happen? You know in your heart that it is true. And you will stand on God's word that it is true. And you will die for that. Yeah? So why not do that for everything else that his Bible says? If his Bible says this, and you know that that's to be the truth, then stand on it, and stand on it with courage, and be brave, and be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Isaiah 12, 2-3 says, when great darkness covers the land, arise, shine, for your light has come. No one's disputing the fact that things are going to get darker. No one's disputing the fact that things are going to get really grim and scary towards the end of days. But that's not what Jesus focuses on. He's saying, guys, arise and shine. Your light has come. Do you honestly think that as we get to the end of days that God's going to allow his church to go, go dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer? Now, it might look like the church is growing dimmer and dimmer right now, but I can assure you from that dim church will come a faint glimmer which will grow and grow and grow and grow. I believe we're seeing something coming about now where we're almost seeing the church going through a metamorphosis as we're shedding the nonsense and getting rid of the rubbish and moving back towards the orthodoxy of Scripture, but not just being a word-based Christian, but one that believes God can do stuff again. Yeah? Not just a word-based Christian. You've got to be a spirit-based Christian. You've got to have the word and the spirit together. You can't just have one. If you're a word-only Christian, you become too fundamental, which is not very fun, and you're a bit mental. But if you become too Holy Spirit, you just like go off out there into la-la land. You need that tension between the word and the spirit coupled together to make us into balanced Christians that know doctrine but also know the power of God. Amen. And also, I think I misquoted the scripture there. It's Isaiah 61:2, when great darkness covers the earth. In Isaiah 12, let's turn to there just quickly. Isaiah 12, verses 2 to 3. Says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Amen? I want to like get some water out of those wells. Jesus said, I'm going to give you living water rising up within you. What is the living water? Well, we all know it's the Holy Spirit. But Romans 14 says the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? And what's something that the church doesn't have much of these days? Joy. She's miserable, right? The church needs to be the most joyous people on earth. Not happy and laughing at the craziness that's going on in the world, but just full of an assurance and joy in who they are and what they are through Christ Jesus. That they can go through the most awful of times and still know the joy of God in their hearts. And I think it's time that the church gets some joy back in her sails again. Some of us have been around too long. We've been a bit too stale. Oh, I've heard this 1,000 times before. Oh, we've sailed down this river 1,000,000 times. We need to put up those sails and we need to catch some joy in our life. I think it's harder for Christians that have been around for a long time to sometimes refill our sails with a bit of joy. You know, we need the oil of joy. We need the oil of joy and the oil of salvation to run through our bodies again, that we're like, yes, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm saved from hell. And guess what? Hell is real, hell is scary, hell is a terrible place, you don't want to go there, and I'm not going there because Jesus has saved me, glory be to God. And that makes me woo-hoo-hoo, happy and joyous and thankful to my God that I'm not going to burn in hell, that I'm with him, I'm seated with him in heavenly places, glory be to his name, hallelujah. And if Christians don't want to shout and scream about that, then what is it you're going to scream and shout about? I mean, what is it? What on earth could you scream and shout about that's more exciting than that? Oh, I know Portsmouth won last week. Are you mad?
Ah, yes.
So, I'm just going to end it there. End on a high note while I bet I had, I think. Before I say something else I really regret. Lord, I pray for us, Lord God, that you fill us with joy. The joy of salvation. Help us, Lord, to keep your word before our eyes and keep it in our hearts. Let us not look to the left or to the right and hear all the bad news and the doom and the gloom in the world, Lord Jesus. We know it's coming. We know it's there. But, Lord, we look to you. And as we look to you, we can do the miraculous. We can walk on water. We can do things which the world says can't be done, Lord God. Lord, I pray in our weakness, help us to move from carnal thinking, Lord Jesus, to spiritual thinking, where we can say to those mountains that cannot be removed, that should not be removed, in the name of Jesus, be thou removed. And Lord God, I pray you raise up a miracle, wonderful people that are full of joy in these days. Lord, I pray right now today, you fill us with your joy. Fill us with that oil of gladness, Lord God, and that spirit of joy. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all the saints heartily said, Amen. Amen.